You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Well, the Fed has done it again. They pumped another nearly $100 billion into markets. Where are they pumping it? They're pumping it into the pockets of banks and Wall Street, into the pockets of the technocratic elite. And what are they doing with that money? Well, we've got Amazon, we've got Facebook, Google, Netflix, Apple, Microsoft, all these people that are behind the control of the internet and control of your speech. You know, Microsoft, the partner of DARPA, to control the news. They're going to guard the news for you, and they're going to guard the election. That means they're going to control both of those, and they're doing it right now. Microsoft, the first partner with the NSA to spy on Mr. and Mrs. America, Mr. and Mrs. Verizon, back in 2012. I'm sorry, not 2012. That was when Apple got in. They were the last ones to get in. They got in after Steve Jobs died, when Tim Cook took control. Microsoft was the first one. And I'm going from memory here, but I think if I look at the slide, I think it was 2009, 2007, Microsoft got in. And, of course, they've been at the lead partnering with the military-industrial complex, the deep state, the intelligence community, whatever you want to call them. It's all the same, right? They've been there at the very beginning to control news. You know, get that check mark, NewsGuard. They've got it embedded in their operating system. You know, no matter how bad the media is, CNN, Newsweek, no matter how many times they lie and make up stories like they just did about President Trump last week. Oh, he's golfing on Thanksgiving while people are dying across the world. Well, he, at that point in time, was meeting with soldiers. It'd be better if he brought them home, wouldn't it? That's what he promised to do. But nevertheless, they were lying about that. And but they still get the check mark from Microsoft. And these people take the checks that they get as this money is being pushed into their stocks, into the stock market and so forth by the Fed. And they're not paying taxes with it. Amazon is the most aggressive. Yeah, they've got a lot of military industrial complex contracts as well. You know, they do all of the database cloud serving for the CIA. They thought they had it sewed up in terms of the JEDI contract. They were going to do the same thing for the entire Department of Defense. And they had Mattis, when he was there as Secretary of Defense, and his number one assistant, who used to work for Bezos and then making junkets out there, the two of them, going out to Jeff Bezos. People, I reported on this when Mattis was still in the White House. So people got mad at me because I'm talking about Trump. Yeah, he's hired a lot of rats. Hired a lot of rats. Yeah, Mattis. Feathering his nest. Feathering the nest of Jeff Bezos and Amazon. That's why Bezos is so upset about the fact that his big contract with the Defense Department went to Microsoft instead. He thought he had nudged them out of the way. No, no, no. They're still firmly entrenched. And what are they doing with the money? You know, Amazon is the most aggressive in global tax avoidance. $100 billion, that's billion with a B, of global tax over the last 10 years. Moving sales and profits through low tax countries and tax havens. And they're not the only one. It's the big Silicon Valley giants, the same people who have taken over the internet. See, they're entitled, aren't they? These are the people who have stolen your free speech. They don't pay taxes. They own the internet. And the shameful thing about it is that President Trump is defending them against Emmanuel Macron. I mean, it's so obvious that even the globalist, the water bearer for the globalist, Emmanuel Macron, is having a fit about it. Of course, he wouldn't if they were headquartered in France. I guess that's maybe what he's negotiating for. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the technocratic elite and how they have already begun to activate Skynet.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, December the 3rd, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm David Knight, and as we were saying at the top of the hour, we look at the Silicon Six. That's what we should call it. The Silicon Six. The cartel. The cabal. The thugs that have determined, and of course, we've got a lot of partners in government, Republican and Democrat, who think it's just fine. You know, as President Trump had the Rose Garden conference, where he invited some people on social media, mostly people who are still on social media, by the way, not people who've been purged. And then he had think tanks like the Heritage Foundation, and you got other think tanks. I don't know if that Cato was there, Cato Institute, but conservative and libertarian think tanks say, "Oh, this is just fine. They've won. You know, they competed in the marketplace, and you know, corporations can do no wrong." You know, that's the exact opposite of the Democrats. Democrats think that government can do no wrong. Only corporations. Many conservatives and libertarians, especially the think tanks, believe that corporations can do no wrong, only governments. Well, the reality is that the two of them become totally evil when they merge, and that's what we have seen here. We have seen a merger of corporations and government to control you. Skynet has already been activated. You just don't realize it yet, do you? You see, it is a war. It is a war against humanity. And the first casualty of war is always the truth. And the way that you kill truth is by killing free speech and the press. And these people claim that they own it. And they also feel like they are not obliged to pay any taxes as well. $100 billion just by Amazon alone in the last 10 years, they were able to avoid. Not evade, but avoid. You know, they did it by exploiting loopholes and laws. And as people are pushing back against this, you have Emmanuel Macron, who is saying, well, we're going to add a digital tax. And so President Trump is coming to the defense of these companies that have taken our free speech. That's the thing that amazes me. They're taking his free speech as well. This is something that has been developing and increasing. We keep seeing more and more reports. You know, first it was Twitter saying they weren't going to do ads, I think, and then it was Google saying they weren't going to accept any political ads, and then AOC was furious with Facebook because they said, "Well, we'll still take ads for the time being," but that's probably negotiable with Zuckerberg. But then, you know, the news breaks that $300 million worth of Trump ads were taken down. That was over the summer. When I talked about this in the past, I've given the illustration of what happened with just ABC News by themselves. ABC News, again, as we saw with their cover-up of Epstein, they have been deeply embedded with the Democrat Party, especially the Clintons, because of George Stephanopoulos. He was the White House communications director. And served at the Clinton White House, and then went to ABC News, and he's essentially running the news department there, especially that program that the reporter, Amy Robach, wanted to tell people, break the news years ago about Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, that got spiked. I mean, that's George Stephanopoulos' program. And when Obama wanted to put through Obamacare, the government takeover of health care. They had ABC News there at the White House running stories every single day, live from the White House, talking to Obama and other officials about how Obamacare was going to solve all of our health care problems. Well, I guess it didn't, did it? Democrats are still running on that. And so the Republicans wanted to have some equal time. Said, no, we're not going to give you equal time. See, that's what they're doing right now on social media. You can say anything. You can have any kind of threat that you want. If it's a threat against President Trump, if you're a Democrat, if you're the right political party, you can say anything that you want. You're a celebrity, you might get a little bit of time out or what, occasionally. You know, you'll get Tom Arnold and all the vitriol that he has spit out at people. Nothing happened to him for a long time. Then eventually he got a short-term suspension. But if you say that Ilhan Omar has committed treason as she's being investigated for taking money from a foreign government, if you say that she has committed treason, oh, you are permanently taken off of Twitter. That's what they did to the woman who was running against her, pointing out the fact that she was being investigated. And so that's what they're doing now. They're saying, no, we're not going to give you equal time, which is what ABC News did. Then the Republican Party, when they were pushing Obamacare from the White House, said, we will pay for ads. And ABC News said, no, we won't let you. And that's the second part of what's happening right now. We're saying that now all of these Silicon Six, the same people who moved against InfoWars in a 24-hour period, less than 24 hours, to purge everything, cut this program off in the middle of our broadcast on YouTube. No explanation. Had never been given a warning even. No strikes against this program. And even a channel that I had, that I hadn't posted anything, it was archives of work that I had done. I hadn't posted anything there for years. And they shut that thing down too. So no warning, no explanation ever given. Asked them for months. I got over 8,000 emails from them. A complaint has been received. Your program has been terminated. Another 10 to 15 minutes, I get another email. It's really kind of strange because it wasn't a regular time interval. It varied from about 10 to 15 minutes. But they would never respond to any of our formal complaints. They would never give me a reason. They don't even have to follow their own rules, do they? They make the rules. They are the rulers. And so what we see now is what we've seen before with Obamacare. They can arrogantly say, and you have, the amazing thing to me is that you've got the Heritage Foundation, the biggest conservative think tank out there, saying, that's fine. That's good. They own it. They won the competition. How did they win the competition? Oh, let's see. They didn't pay hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes, number one. You know, we've got the Fed pumping money into the stock market, much of it going into the stocks of the Silicon Six. They pumped money in to create them through venture capital firms. You had the CIA even come out for the first time in the late 1990s, openly created a venture capital firm to help pick the people that were going to be their partners, the people who would be the Quislings for them and make them wealthy. You know, I just don't understand why the Democrats aren't more angry with the CIA. I just don't understand it. I mean, the CIA openly calls themselves the company, and Democrats hate companies. They even hate small mom and pop companies, which are good. They're good. They have to compete in a marketplace. They don't get the government shutting down their competition. They don't get the government shoveling money into their pockets like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. No, mom and pops have to compete on their own. I've done it. My mom and pop did it. My grandmom and grandpops on both sides of my family did it. I don't have any patience for crony capitalism. I don't have any patience for robber barons, or whatever you want to call these people. I'll call them the Silicon Six, the cabal, the technocratic elite. Boy, I tell you, H.G. Wells got it right when he called the guy in his book John Cabal. That's what they all are. And so we look at this, and I just scratch my head why President Trump is defending them. Maybe he's cutting a deal in the back room. You get some of these people angry that he met with Mark Zuckerberg. I'm angry if he's cutting a deal with them for a different reason than the Democrats are. These people need to be opposed, not appeased. Do not surrender our freedoms any more than we should be surrendering our money, our property, our lives to these people. We should never surrender our speech to them. We'll be right back. I'm afraid this story is one of many more to come. A New York family forced to sell one of the oldest family farms in the country after 240 years and seven generations. The 280-acre farm in the Catskills, they kept farming it, they said, to preserve their family's legacy. They said they haven't taken a vacation in nearly 50 years, and they have very little savings, no pension, of course. If Frank stops working, said his wife, 67, and of course Frank is 71. If Frank stops working, he feels he's letting his relatives down and the whole family line is broken. I know it doesn't make sense because they're dead, but you feel like you have a commitment to carry on what every one of them has done successfully in the past. They've tried all kinds of things. For decades, there were dairy farmers, but in the late 80s, they sold many of their cows and changed their business model, trying to go to kind of a farm vacation model. So people could stay on the farm, they could eat farm meals, things that were grown there. They could also help with chores, they could hand milk cows and goats and feed the pigs and so forth. But that's not making ends meet. We have no pension because we put every penny we have back into the farm. I tell people we're standing on our 401k, and now it looks like the farm has to close so that we can survive. When we look at what is coming, I said the Skynet has already activated. Because you see, Skynet is not an impersonal artificial intelligence. No, it's the people who are using artificial intelligence and their technocratic leverage over us to war against us, to war against our economy. And they get anything that they want from our government. And that includes Republicans as well as Democrats. It is bipartisan. And it includes President Trump, quite frankly. When we look at this situation, as I said, the Silicon Six, the cabal, the technocratic cabal that is taking everything from us. I've said many times, you steal my speech, you ought to be stopped by the government for the same reason that the government should stop somebody if they're robbing me of my land or my bank account or stealing other property that I have. My speech, my rights, your right to be able to hear and see news, the free press, and your ability to be able to speak in a digital public square. That was the pretense that they operated under. That was what they lied to us about to get us to all come in. And so I said many times, stealing my property, my rights that way is just as bad as if you're stealing my money. But of course, they are stealing our money. If they can evade hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes, each of these companies, and then at the same time have the Federal Reserve pump hundreds of billions of dollars in a short period of time. They've done it again. It was just a couple of weeks ago. I said, do you realize how much money they put in a single day that they injected in the quote-unquote markets? Well, you know what the markets are, don't you? It's these biggest companies. And I said, look at this. You know, only about a third of the countries on Earth have a gross domestic product for an entire year that is equivalent to that. And two-thirds of the countries don't have a gross domestic product that is equivalent to what the Federal Reserve injected into the stocks of these big companies in a single day. They don't produce that in an entire year. And now they've done it again. And now we have the U.S. government. The U.S. Trade Representative, Robert Lighthizer, has gone to war with France because France said, well, we're going to tax them. I said, well, you're coming after American companies. These are not American companies. Google is not an American company. They're multinationals. They have more loyalty to China than they do to the United States. They're the ones who are behind the deindustrialization of America. They're the ones behind this trade war that has impoverished our country. They're the ones demanding that we have open borders for immigration because they profit from that. They're not American companies. In name only, the French tax is designed to prevent tech companies from dodging taxes by putting headquarters in low-tax European Union countries. It imposes a 3% annual levy on French revenues of digital companies with yearly global sales of more than $830 million. And the U.S. Trade Representative for the Trump administration said the U.S. is also exploring whether or not to pursue this same approach, the 301, Section 301, which is what they used against China, to look into digital taxes introduced by other countries like Austria, Italy, and Turkey. And here's the zinger here. The decision to target France got bipartisan endorsement from Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley and Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden. You see, the Democrats are as much to blame as the Republicans on this. The Democrats are all the time talking about income inequality. Yeah, right. They don't care about that. They will let them, they cheer them on. The Democrats cheer them on as they rob us of our God-given rights. And they cheer them on as they rob us of our money as well. Remember how you had Bernie Sanders and these people saying, oh, as President Trump put out a small tax cut for you and I? It was a big tax cut for the big companies. But he was upset that anybody was getting a tax cut. Because they'll raise taxes. He wants to raise it up to 90%. And he started screaming, they're looting the treasury. All that money, you know, belongs to them. But they don't mind if Amazon and these other companies are getting that. As a matter of fact, you got bipartisan support to protect these companies that are robbing us of everything. And as I said, Skynet is aware. It is totally aware. These people are the ones who are running it. And the technocratic elite are exactly aware of how they can destroy our economy. And they're, you know, the first thing they do is shut down the press, shut down speech. As I said before, they banned the public square, people being able, the free press. Now you're not even going to be able to buy ads as they are putting that out there. After they control speech, Daily Mail has an interactive map that shows the top 10 areas in the U.S. where workers are at risk of being replaced by robots, amid predictions of up to 50% will lose their job. It'll be more than that. It'll be more than 50% in the transportation industry. As a matter of fact, if you look at South Korea, they're proud of the fact that by 2030, when Skynet is not only fully aware, but fully in power, Google and its cyber cities, sidewalk labs, smart cities is what the UN calls them. Once that's in place, even South Korea said, well, we think even doctors and lawyers, 70% of them will lose their jobs. See, most of you think, oh, this is something that's only going to hurt the farmers and blue-collar workers. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt all of us. And we're all going to serve these technocratic masters, not the robots, but the people who own the robots.
Making sense common again. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, as angry as I am that President Trump is defending these indefensible Silicon Six, these technocratic elite that are robbing us blind, robbing us of money, not paying any taxes, and then he's going to go to economic warfare with the European Union to defend these people that he characterizes as U.S. companies. They're not American in any sense of the word. They are, if anything, the key globalists that he was sent to fight. And as they have stolen our speech, he's done nothing to stop that. But, of course, neither are the Democrats. And they're worse in every regard, in every on every issue. This is the dire situation that we're in right now. And although it may look hopeless, we are not of those who have no hope. I don't put my hope in men. I don't put my hope in politicians. My hope is in God. And we better clean up our act here, because you can already see the judgment lining up against us, can't you? The only way that you're going to get this solved is to get right with God and to do something at the local level, because you're not going to find salvation in Washington. The only question is, who's going to oppress you more? Which group of pedophiles that we call the Republicans and Democrats are going to oppress you more? Which group of pedophiles are going to sexualize your kids in their mandated educational system? That's what you need to pay attention to. Let's take talking about the demagogues. Let's talk about the demagogue party here. Hunter Biden, you know, he's got this public child support trial that's going on. He claims he doesn't have any money, I guess, to support his child. His lawyer abruptly quit during the hearing yesterday, after the judge demanded 3 years of tax returns from him. Well, that could be uncomfortable. There might be some information in there that would be very incriminating, don't you think? He was not in the courtroom when his attorney, Dustin McDaniel, quit. Now, Dustin McDaniel is a former Arkansas attorney general. He said Biden's personal attorney had advised him that he was being discharged, so he quit in the courtroom. Biden is said to have met the baby mama when she was a stripper. I don't know, maybe they shared some illegal substances together. Maybe it was a roach or something. I don't know. They're just finding out about this, I guess. Judge McSpadden said that he would need at least 3 years of Biden's tax returns before he could reach a decision regarding support for the child. Biden filed a motion for protective order of his financial records last week. And she is suing him for legal fees, $11,000 plus child support. He can't afford that. He only got monthly payments of $83,000 from his so-called consulting services while he was on the board of Burisma. Do you think they were consulting with him to find out what he knew about natural gas? No. No, he doesn't know anything about natural gas. They were consulting with him to find out how they could, what he knew and the people that he knew and so forth. Biden, the Obama administration, the State Department, that's what he was consulting with him for. His lawyer said that this could cause Hunter embarrassment. Yes, I think that is likely to be the case, don't you? However, Biden is still in first place in the new Harris poll. And as Babylon Bee, the satire site, pointed out, it may be that his popularity has skyrocketed because of his new slogan, his new campaign slogan, no malarkey, no malarkey. It's catchy. It's got a ring to it, right? No malarkey. Many have criticized him for his campaign slogan, no malarkey. They said it's out of touch and old-fashioned. However, his popularity has skyrocketed among the coveted 1920s working class demographic, as they report. And in their satire report, they say over 92% of the 1920s demographic said that they were real keen on Biden. I like this Biden fallacy, said one man smoking a cigar in a speakeasy as he cleaned his Tommy gun. No balderdash, no malarkey, not on his watch. You got it, toots? He's the real deal, the bee's knees, the cat's pajama, a real nifty gent. And I ain't no pushover, you see? These other candidates are always giving us a runaround, filling our heads with hornswoggle, codswallop, fiddlesticks, and balderdash, but not Joe. He's just like us. You could see yourself having a spot of moonshine with Joe or picking up dames down the boardwalk or even rolling around in the chopper squad rubbing out coppers. Joe ain't no stool pigeon. I'd bet my life on it, you see? And as they point out, though these men have passed away long ago, they're all still registered Democrats. They're expected to turn out in huge numbers in 2020. And so we look at the poll here. And the Harris poll, and it turns out Biden is number one at 31% nationally. And then followed the 77-year-old Biden is followed by Bernie Sanders, the 78-year-old. And number three is unsure at 13%. I guess we could call it, since we have the geriatric race here, we could call it the depends. Depends comes in at number three, right after the 77-year-old Biden and the 78-year-old Sanders. We have depends in third place of this elderly demographic. Then in fourth place, we have the 70-year-old Warren, and debuting in fifth place is, sixth place, is Bloomberg at 6%, the 77-year-old. When we look at Bloomberg, just remember, it was only 5 years ago that Bloomberg was bragging about how he had, quote, earned his place in heaven, unquote. Why? Because of his anti-gun crusades and his campaign against styrofoam and trans fats. Yeah, he said, I'm telling you, now this is not the Babylon Bee. This is Michael Bloomberg. This is a direct quote. This is not satire. This is the ego of a billionaire, a rich man. You know, he may think that because he's small, he can fit through the eye of a needle. But this kind of arrogance and pride that he has in the statement ain't going to get him where he thinks he's going to go. I'm telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, if there is a heaven, I'm not going to be stopping to be interviewed. What an arrogant son of a gun. He thinks he's going to just walk right past God or whatever. Where is he getting this anyway? I don't know. What is it? Imagination that he's got. I'm heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close. Not even close. Well, Mike, God will not be interviewing you. He will be judging you. And he's not going to be judging you on your styrofoam bands. He'll be looking at your pride, your arrogance, your hubris, your self-righteousness. That ought to be disqualifying for you getting into the White House. But I'm telling you, it's going to be disqualifying for you getting into heaven. Any of us. See, there's only room for one God in heaven. And it ain't you. But you think you're God. It's a very interesting glimpse into the ego of this man, who constantly thinks that he knows better than you. I've always said, these people who have, Bloomberg pointed out all of the different things. He's, banned trans fats, certain tobacco sales, supersized sodas, and guns, of course, guns. He knows better than you. He wants the poor people to pay more taxes so they'll live longer. He's going to, take away these things that he thinks are bad for you because he knows better than you. I think he's going to do pretty well in the Democrat race. He is not, however, a moderate. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're going to get into some more of the demagogues that are running. Buttigieg, who has a couple of distinctions. Not only is he openly gay, but he is also under 70. So we'll talk about some of the crazy things that he's been doing. But first, I want to finish up with Bloomberg. A pollster for Bloomberg has come out and said that the candidate will focus on, wait for it, gun control, but also climate change. Now, this is something that everybody knows about Bloomberg and gun control. He funded one of the most aggressive, created it, one of the most aggressive gun control groups. But he also funds the second most aggressive, and he aggressively funds those. That is his path to self-redemption and righteousness, a self-righteous, arrogant, rich man, billionaire, and his pride. But it's also about climate change. And remember, it was Bloomberg, the press organization, which is really a mouthpiece for him. They made it very clear. You know, when you had the editor-in-chief, John Micklethwaite, saying, in the tradition of not investigating Mike or his family or his foundations, you know, they don't investigate the Clintons or their family or their foundations either, do they? And, of course, neither does the federal government. Hands off. We will extend the same policy to his rivals in the Democratic primaries, but not to President Trump. And that was one of the most arrogant things this guy has ever said. And it got even his reporters, the journalists, who work for the various Bloomberg sub-publications, came back through their guild, through their union, and said, we didn't sign up for this. This is disgusting to openly admit how biased you're going to be. I mean, this is even beyond CNN to say, you know, CNN tries to project the idea of objectivity, no matter how ridiculous it is. The CNN, where you got Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter and so forth, they dedicated themselves to shutting down free speech, the free press, especially here at InfoWars, but not just us, other people as well, and openly manufacturing every kind of lie about President Trump. They tried to pretend that they're objective, but Bloomberg doesn't even do that. That's how arrogant this guy is. And so when they came out, you know, climate change is going to be a big part of this, big part of it. And, and by the way, the Trump campaign responded and said, oh, you're going to report on us, but you're not going to report on Mike or his Democrat rivals. Okay, well, you're not going to be credentialed anymore with the White House. And it's kind of interesting because, as one individual pointed out, Bloomberg is among the three wires that travel to all of the Trump events. In other words, the Bloomberg press is really big. It's like AP and Reuters. And they go to all the Trump events, including rallies. They're part of the travel pool. So is the campaign saying that they're going to make them sit outside? I hope they are. I hope they are. They should make them sit outside. They should be ashamed for having the hubris and arrogance to say that we're not even going to pretend that we're objective. But what is he going to be campaigning on according to his pollster? Well, be guns, take away guns, and then to take away everything else that you have using climate change. Bloomberg was the first one to come back with this idea that we need to have population control. That old idea that was introduced back in the 1970s, you know, I had the first Earth Day in 1970, and it was going to be an ice age that was coming then. You know, they held that for about 8 to 10 years. It was going to be an ice age. And then they just completely did a complete 180 and said, no, we're going to melt down. It's going to be global warming and so forth. Well, part of the ice age, they were predicting that by the mid-70s, we were going to have worldwide famine because it was going to be impossible for us to grow crops and so forth. So we had to cut population. And it was in that context that you had things like Soylent Green and other movies that were made. But that was the zeitgeist of the time, if you will. That was the narrative that they were pushing at that time. And because of that, you got the one-child policy in China, because the globalists are firmly in charge of China, have been for a long time. And they, you know, played along with that, did everything the globalists wanted to do. You know, yeah, we'll kill our kids. We'll have forced abortions. We will reduce our population. And you make us Communist Party members wealthy. How about that? We can do a deal with that, right? And they did do the deal. You know, they, in exchange for killing their children, they had the globalists move manufacturing there so they could pirate intellectual property so they could profit from slave labor. And the globalists and the communist leaders in China all profited from that. And all it required was that they had to play along with this population reduction. And so that's a very key thing for Bloomberg. But the rest of the climate change agenda is about taking everything else besides guns. They'll take the guns, and then they're going to take everything else in your life. They're going to take your meat. They're going to take your home. They're going to take your car. And they'll take your kids, too. They'll keep you from having kids. They'll put you in these open-air prisons, the smart cities that the UN has designed, and using the idea of climate change to sell that to people. That program of austerity, taking us back to the Stone Age. So he said, yeah, climate change, gun violence, income inequality, and education. I'm like, well, wait a minute, income inequality? Bloomberg is going to campaign on income inequality? What's he going to tell people? I want you all to have nothing. So you all be equal. This is the 15th richest man in the world. And he's going to talk to us about income inequality? He's going to run on income inequality? Talk about arrogance. Unbelievable. His focal point, big focal point, however, will be climate change. That's where he's going to take everything that you got, your income, your job, your home, your independence, your privacy, everything. He's been a special representative of the UN Secretary General on climate. He says, while we have very high unemployment, the gap between the rich and the poor has gotten greater. And I think people really require opportunities to close that gap. No, he's going to make sure that you all have equality in poverty. That's really the core of what the communists always promise, right? They're going to have everybody equal by taking everything from everybody. And that's the way that it always works. And that's essentially, can you just imagine that? He's going to run on income inequality, the 15th richest man in the world. They said there's a lot more that we can do. We can paint him as a job creator, as a centrist. He is neither one of those. Neither one of those. He is a taker. He is a parasite, and he is not a centrist. He is a radical elitist, a technocratic elite, if ever there was one. Folks, the same people, these technocratic elite that I've been railing about, sorry about the rants, but it gets me angry when I look at what these people are doing to us and the fact that we continue to let them do it. And the central point of where they've done it is in shutting down our free speech. And all of these people coming after InfoWars, each of these companies bigger than an entire country. You know, I was talking about how much money is injected in just a single day by the Federal Reserve to make the stock market look good. And where are they injecting that money? Into these people's pockets. And you need to understand where, not only about the Federal Reserve, but about these technological elites. And of course, they all allied themselves against us because we tell you the truth about what these people are doing. And if President Trump does the wrong thing, I'll come after him for that. And I think he is doing the wrong thing, protecting them. And these tax issues, he ought to be fighting them. Fox News is never going to criticize him for that kind of stuff. They'll criticize him for things that are not even crimes. I'm not going to do that, but I will criticize him over policy issues. Folks, if you want to have it, our straight opinions here, whether you agree with him or not, you want to have a free press. And whether you like InfoWars or not, we are the tip of the spear when they take away free speech and the free press. And we really do appreciate how you have stood by us and supported us. Our Cyber Monday sales are here. We have 50% off and more. We have silver bullet, colloidal silver, 67% off. We have free shipping, triple Patriot points, so you can get up to 15% off of future purchases. Most of our products, however, are at least 50% off, and we have some specials. Get DNA Force 50% off, huge savings, and a free bottle of Brain Force with that. InfoWarsStore.com.
Making sense common again. It's the David Knight Show.
Where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in gold.
Well, we were talking about Bloomberg and about his fantasies of earning his way to heaven by taking all the guns. And then, you know, also climate change, where he takes everything else and tells you what you can and cannot even eat. Yeah, all to that extent. We have the Supreme Court, of course, hearing a gun rights case. And, of course, this is coming from New York City, the place where he has ruled and held sway. Supreme Court heard a challenge yesterday to New York City rules that imposed restrictions on bearing your arms, because that's what it means to carry your arms. And this is a since-repealed ordinance. New York residents had to obtain a premises license from city authorities to lawfully possess a firearm. That license restricted possession to the address listed on the license itself. So you couldn't take it out of the house. Very similar to, and it's been over a decade since the Supreme Court has heard a case, but of course the Heller case in Washington, D.C. was brought by a, I think it was a police officer who was off duty in Washington, D.C. And he wanted to be able to carry his gun when he was off duty. And they said no. And that case said, no, being able to have a firearm means that you don't have to leave it locked up in your home. But see, they don't care about precedents. They don't care when the Supreme Court says, no, Washington can't keep you from carrying guns. But of course, New York can. And think about the fact that it's now been repealed, but they just repealed it. They just repealed it. They fought it all the way to the Supreme Court. And then when it gets to the Supreme Court, they know they haven't got a leg to stand on. And so those devious, those devious people, you know, those people, as Robert E. Lee would say, those people decided that they would just shut it down. And they said, the city is committed to closing the book on that old rule, and we're not going to take it into effect. And so the Supreme Court spent most of yesterday's arguments talking about whether they were going to just drop this whole hearing now for procedural issues. They said, well, you know, the rule is gone now. They just dropped it, so I guess we don't have anything to talk about here. And Justice Roberts is ready to dismiss the case because of that. You have to go back and look at the history of the Supreme Court and judicial tyranny in this country to really get a full appreciation for this. Because it's not just the Second Amendment, and we've had questionable cases on this. Remember when they outlawed sawed-off shotguns, and that was taken to the Supreme Court. That was a situation where a guy used a sawed-off shotgun to do a bank robbery. And so they wanted to prohibit that. They were saying, no, it's you can't do that because it's we have the Second Amendment and we have the right to keep and bear arms. And the argument that they were making in defense of this bank robber was that the sawed-off shotgun was a legitimate military weapon. And it was. It had been used in World War I. I mean, this was in the 30s, I think it was. I should have looked up the case before I started talking about it. I'm just going from memory. But it was in the 30s, and it had been used in wartime. Sawed-off shotguns had been used in both World War I and in the Civil War, in cavalry charges. Some of the most effective cavalry charges happened when people used sawed-off shotguns instead of sabers. Surprise, surprise. And, of course, they used it in the trench warfare and so forth of World War I. And so the argument was that you can't ban a sawed-off shotgun because it is a legitimate military gun. Now the argument has changed. And now, if it is a legitimate weapon for the military to use, it must be banned. That's what the Democrats are telling us everywhere. That's how they spin this. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Yeah, I refreshed my memory here. during the commercial break. It was in the 1930s. 1934, the Miller case. And it was a test of the National Firearms Act. And they said, you don't have the right to restrict possession of a sawed-off shotgun. Even if it's used to commit a bank robbery, you know, this guy's a criminal, you don't have the right to do that. That's a legitimate military weapon. And the Second Amendment is there to make sure that we have a well-armed militia. And so if it's a legitimate military weapon, the people have a right to have that. As a matter of fact, as Robert Proctor has pointed out when he's been on many times here talking about the Constitution, government has the responsibility to arm and train the militia. That's really what the federal government ought to be giving us AR-15s and teaching us how to use them, like Switzerland does. You know, it works, doesn't it, when you actually do that? But it was in 1934. And when I'm talking, the reason that came up, and I went back to that in my mind, was because of the dishonest ways that the Supreme Court will do it. Not only, you know, that we've now had the narrative turn around, so it's like, oh no, if it's a military weapon, you can't have it. But in this particular case in 1934, the Miller case, the individual in question had died before it got to the Supreme Court. But they went ahead with the case so they could establish the National Firearms Act. And so now we have this law that has died because the New York City officials have killed it. And it is a blatantly unconstitutional law. The Supreme Court has already ruled on this, in essence, with the D.C. versus Heller case. Probably the last time they said it's been about a decade, so it's probably that case where the District of Columbia said no, off-duty cop cannot carry a firearm. Now you got to lock it up in your house, and that's essentially what New York was saying. That was a slam dunk. So they kill the law. Now the Supreme Court, Justice Roberts, a Republican appointed judge. This is why we have got to stop bowing down to the Supreme Court. You know, when you go back and you look at their shameful history, the Dred Scott decision, what they did with the Cherokee. You know, we just had all these people upset about the Native Americans and how they were treated. Yeah, they were treated badly by Andrew Jackson. But he did have the authority to ignore the Supreme Court rule. The Supreme Court first said, you're not going to move the Cherokee, or you can move the Cherokee, rather. And then after they saw what was happening, within a year, that same court reversed itself and said, no, you can't. And then Andrew Jackson said, well, you've issued your opinion. Let's see you enforce it. I have the power of the executive. You don't have any ability to stop me. And that's precisely, as I've said many times, precisely what President Trump needs to do to shut down all of these federal judges, not just the Supreme Court, but every little federal judge. And we've got thousands of them now. And any of them think that they can veto any immigration policy or any border protection that President Trump has. And like all the other presidents since Andrew Jackson, he basically bows down and defers to the usurped authority of the Supreme Court. And they get it wrong a lot of times. They got it wrong with the Dred Scott decision. They said, no, you got to return those escaped slaves. They got it wrong in 1917 when they said that movies don't have free speech, and they jailed a man who did a movie called The Spirit of 76. He was talking about the American Revolution, and because it portrayed the people that Woodrow Wilson wanted to be allies with in World War I, he wanted to get us into World War I on the side of the British, and because the British obviously were the villains in The Spirit of 76, they heavily censored it. And when he restored the footage, they sent him to jail with a massive fine. And that stood until the 1950s. They said movies don't have any First Amendment protections. So all these liberals are out there talking about how the Supreme Court once upon a time said we can kill babies. And that's it. It's done. It's the law of the land. Well, if that were the case, you wouldn't have any free speech in your movies. And you, any escaped slaves would have to be returned, and on and on and on. They issue opinions, they reverse opinions, and they rig the system to get the results that they want. And that's exactly what I think the Supreme Court's going to do with John Roberts and these other people, playing footsie with the New York City authoritarians. People like Bloomberg. People like Bloomberg. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about some of these other demagogues. Let's get to Buttigieg. We've got a video here, a video clip number three. He's talking about how, in his opinion, the illegal aliens are subsidizing everybody else. They're here to save us. Let's play video clip number three, Buttigieg.
Let me ask you this clip, Cork, real quick, rapid fire. Do you think we need to also stop allowing forces to demonize, quote unquote, people who are trying to get their immigration status, and we start lifting up all the ways they benefit this country, the money in Social Security, the taxes they pay, the job they create. Somewhere, don't we need to say, wait a minute?
Right.
You know, so yes, and I'm just going to do some rapid fire.
Yeah, I mean, the uncomfortable reality is that undocumented folks are, in many ways, like Social Security, subsidizing everybody else.
And we need to talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Breitbart did a fact check on that. And, of course, the guy who was black church, that pastor that is trying to help him there, his name is Barber, he plays the race card all the time. And, of course, he gets into that with immigration as well. He said, we call people illegal aliens. Why can't we just own in America that some of the people that are trying to come from Mexico here are coming back to the land that we stole? And the reason we took the land is because people wanted to keep their slaves. See? He eventually gets there. It may be a very circuitous route, and it may be very questionable, but he eventually gets back to the race card and slavery. And he is always talking about President Trump. He says, oh, yes, President Trump is without a doubt a racist. He repeatedly called him that. He says, there is no question that the president of this country is racist. He wrote in an article that was published just last week, this pastor, this black pastor who had Buttigieg at his South Carolina church. During the conversation, Buttigieg argued that systemic racism and racial voter suppression were problematic to the concept of a united democracy in America. He said, for my dime, I actually consider the Electoral College itself to be an example of this problem. What problem? Well, what he called systemic racism and, quote, racial voter suppression. So you see, the Electoral College is racist. Of course, everything is racist if you don't like it. And they don't like the Electoral College because it has given us representation. Right. You want to talk about enfranchising people and disenfranchising people? You want to disenfranchise the majority of the states and the majority of the people, and you want to have this election determined by just a handful of giant cities. But let's get back to Buttigieg's absurd declaration that illegal aliens are subsidizing everybody else. First of all, you heard that Pastor Barber saying, we're demonizing people who are trying to immigrate to this country. Well, they're not trying, they're just coming across the border. They're not part of our legal system. They're not applying for this. They're coming across and they're demanding that we let them in. But as Breitbart points out, some illegal aliens do pay into Social Security fund and they don't get the money back when they're older because they're here illegally. So that little bit of it is true. However, how do they pay into the Social Security fund? Well, they don't get a Social Security number in many cases unless they steal it. Many illegal aliens who pay into Social Security often use numbers that they stole from Americans. And when you look at that, as the Center for Immigration Studies reported in 2017, the use of unlawfully obtained Social Security numbers by individuals that were eligible for DACA status was so pervasive that the Obama administration instructed applicants not to disclose their illegally obtained numbers. Do you see how DACA itself is a not only a previous executive order, but a deliberate order that was set up to circumvent the law? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Back as you hear the Christmas music, remember it is Cyber Monday sale at InfoWarsStore.com. A great time to give yourself the gift of free press and free speech, because that's what we're here fighting for. And you have stood with us. It's a great way to, a lot of times when we're out Christmas shopping, the trap that many of us will fall into. I know my wife and I did when we first got married. We'd go out Christmas shopping for other people, and we wind up buying a lot of stuff for ourselves. We stopped doing that. But, you know, it's a good time to get things for your family, to introduce them, give them the gift of health. Many times, people are reluctant to get things for themselves, and sometimes it's a great way to introduce that to them. And we've got many effective products, very safe and effective, natural ingredients. We have them dramatically discounted as part of our Cyber Monday special, 50% off, free shipping, and triple Patriot points for discounts in the future. And we have some bundled specials as well. For instance, if you buy a Survival Shield X2 or X3 Nascent Iodine, 50% off, you can get a free bottle of Brain Force. If you buy DNA Force, and you can get that at 50% off, that is a huge savings. And you can get a free bottle of Brain Force with that as well. And I'm telling you, if you or your relatives try Brain Force, you're going to love it, because it really does help to focus your mind, helps your recoil. Some of the firearm products that we can find. But also a Silver Bullet, colloidal silver, 67% off. Whenever I travel, I take Silver Bullet with me, and if I start to feel like I'm coming down with an infection or something, or even if I just get a scratch, I use that even as a topical. It's for internal use. We have a topical nano silver cream that we sell, and that is also on special. And but I use it. That's the Super Silver Wound Gel. That's 50% off. But I have always, before we had that, I would use the colloidal silver to keep myself from getting an infection when I have a paper cut or something like that. So I'd always take it with me when I traveled. And after I started using it, I found that before that, I would typically would get sick to some degree or the other when I was traveling with a cold. I don't get colds as much anymore because I take so many supplements here at InfoWars. It helps my health. And that's one of the few things. You can look at things in a long term, and I say, I would always be the first one to get sick in the family whenever it was flu season. Now I'm the one that doesn't get sick because I'm the one that takes all of the supplements so religiously. So we've got a great deal on many nutraceuticals. You're going to see the long-term effects of some of these. Some of these you're going to see the effect right away, things like Brain Force or Silver Bullet colloidal silver, or even krill oil, 50% off. When I take that, as Alex has said, I have very vivid dreams. I wind up taking it in the morning because I want to take it for the anticoagulant feature. So I take a large dose of that when I take it, and I take four times the amount that you typically would take as a supplement because I'm trying to use it as an anticoagulant. That is 50% off as well. Take a look at the products that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off, free shipping, triple Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, getting back to the absurd claim that Buttigieg was making. And remember, when he says that illegal aliens are subsidizing everybody else, that was the lie that was told by the UN back in the year 2000, told to representatives from the first world, the U.S. and Western Europe. They said, look, demographically, your populations are collapsing. Now, we can talk about why that is. There is a social aspect of that, telling people you don't want to have kids, telling people you don't even want to have a heterosexual marriage, stop all that. So there's a big social aspect to that that was driving it. But then we also know that because of what they've been doing to our food supply, other things like vaccines and so forth, there is a physical component as well. It is measurable. You can see how sperm counts have plummeted in the last several decades. So they were doing things to us physiologically and psychologically, socially, to keep us from having children. And then they come in 2000, and the UN says, well, your welfare states, which are a Ponzi scheme, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. They came up with the age of 65. The first place it was implemented was in Germany. Bismarck said, we'll set the age of 65. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. When you get to 65, we'll give you free money, because that was the life expectancy. They didn't expect people to to live to 65. So it was always a lie. And for it to work, it was a Ponzi scheme. It had to be funded by more and more people coming in at the bottom. And so once the population started to level off and then decline, that became a problem for Social Security. So they sold it, and they said, you're going to have to replace your people. Now, you can think of that in two different ways. You can think of it as, well, we just need more people to pay for Social Security, or you can think of it in the real people replacement that they've got, which is you need to replace your native people here in Europe and the United States with people from other countries, other cultures, other tongues and tribes and so forth. And that's exactly what they did do. But they sold it in the same way that Buttigieg is selling it. They're here to subsidize your retirement, Social Security. Just remember, Social Security was and is a lie that they use to control you. And so we can take a look at the true cost of this. As I pointed out, yeah, some people do pay into the Social Security that are illegal aliens, and then maybe they don't ever get their legal status. You know, when we had the big amnesty in 1986, when they said, well, we've got an illegal alien problem here, but we don't want to send these people home, so what we'll do is we'll give them amnesty, and then we will stop the illegal immigration. Well, stopping the illegal immigration never happened. And when they gave amnesty to the people, a minority of them even bothered to apply. They didn't care. They didn't care to become legal. So maybe they didn't get the payments back. But a lot of people who are paying into Social Security, who have Social Security numbers, are doing that because they stole it. And it was so endemic, as I said before we went to break, that the corrupt Obama administration, just think about this, DACA, you have the chief law enforcement officer under Obama. Now, of course, Obama is the chief law enforcement officer. So is President Trump, because, you know, the Department of Justice and Attorney General and all these people report to the president. That makes him the chief law enforcement officer. That's why President Trump has not only the right, but also the duty to investigate corruption in Ukraine by Biden and other people, whether or not it's to his political advantage. But under Obama, his Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, issued a letter saying, we're going to defer enforcement of this, right? And we're not going to enforce the law. And then Obama said to the people, said, don't give us your Social Security number, because if you stole it, we don't want to know. We want to help you to stay here. We want to help you to evade the laws. And so don't tell us if you stole the Social Security number. Now, what that meant was that meant that Americans who had been the victim of identity theft by DACA recipients were left with destroyed credit, arrest records attached to their names, unpaid tax liabilities, corrupted medical records, while the DACA recipients walked away, free from multiple felonies, including Social Security fraud. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And now, the David Knight Show.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Yeah, we're talking about the Democrats, and of course, for them, every day is Christmas. Many years ago, I remember B.J. O'Rourke said, the problem is that Democrats are Santa Claus, and Republicans are God. And because he was looking at it from the standpoint of Republicans wanting to tell you what to do. Of course, now the Democrats have taken over that role as well. I think they see themselves as both God and Santa Claus. But P.J. O'Rourke said, the problem is that Santa Claus is not real, but God is. So I'm going to hang with the Republicans, is what he said at the time. But no, the Democrats do see themselves as Santa Claus. But Buttigieg was trying to sell the idea that illegal aliens are Santa Claus. They're Santa's little helpers. They're coming across the border with bags of cash to pay for your Social Security. That's the way it's been portrayed by the United Nations and others. And not only is there a cost, as I pointed out, in terms of crime, just the crime of stealing Social Security numbers, for example, but let's just take a look at the dollars and cents here. As Breitbart's pointing out, many of the illegal aliens eventually do get legal status. They get grandfathered in when they get amnesty, and they can get money out of the Social Security fund. But biggest issue is the money that is going out in terms of education, schools, health care, and other welfare programs such as school lunches or food stamps or housing subsidies that would otherwise be given to Americans, or money that would not be spent, or schools that would not have to be built. But see, we're operating under the idea that we're going to educate the entire world, anybody in the world. And we've had, in just one border location, in 1 month, we had people from 30 different countries around the world coming in. When they talk about universal health care, they mean universal. They mean everybody. And I mean, you know, we could include space aliens from Mars in that. And the Democrats would have you paying for their health care and their education. Welfare is also significantly higher for non-citizens in all four top immigrant-receiving states. In California, 72% of non-citizen-headed households use one or more welfare programs, compared to 35% of households that are headed by Native Americans. So, foreign, illegal aliens, 72% in California are on welfare versus 35% for Americans. In Texas, it's 69% are on welfare, illegal aliens, versus 35% of Americans. In New York, 53% of illegal immigrants are on welfare versus 38% Americans. In Florida, 56% of illegal immigrants are on welfare, compared to 35% of Americans. This is why Cloward and Piven pivoted in the mid-2000s. They had said before, these Democrat economists had said, look, we need to increase the welfare state here. You know, back in the 1960s with LBJ's war on poverty and so forth, we can get enough Americans on welfare that we can collapse the system, and then we can establish our socialist utopia. And the problem was, they could only get about 35%. And it wasn't enough, even though they kept trying to get more and more people on, making it harder and harder for people get off of welfare. It wasn't working. So in the mid-2000s, they said, let's open up the borders and let's bring in illegal aliens and offer them the same benefits, and in many cases, superior benefits. You can't get in-state tuition in any state unless you are an illegal alien, and then they give it to you, right? But if you're an American citizen, you can only get in-state tuition in the state in which you live. But illegal, no, you can get it anywhere you want. And that's exactly what we see, doing it at about double the rate of Americans. And then the corporations. The money flows back that they get in welfare. The money flows back to U.S. companies like Walmart or apartment rental companies. The welfare programs become a taxpayer-funded subsidy to the investors who own the companies and the apartments. That's an important point. We talk about how they get cheap labor and how they compete in the labor market, and that's true. There's a big cost in that. I'll talk about that in just a second. But think about the fact that money is being injected into another segment of the economy, and that's one of the reasons why you see all the signs in Spanish in Walmart. Right, because they're going to be getting that welfare money that gets cycled through the system. Each legal or illegal immigrant costs state and local taxpayers roughly $1,600 more per year than the immigrant generates in taxes, says a nonpartisan 2016 report by the National Academies of Sciences. The current annual net cost of first-generation immigrants, including the cost of educating their children, adds up to $57.4 billion per year. So Buttigieg is not exactly telling you the truth about that either, is he? Outside of government programs, illegal aliens also impose a huge cost on Americans who are trying to earn a living in a free market for labor because they're competing for jobs and they're driving the cost of wages down. Immigrant labor accounts for 16.5% of the total number of hours worked in the U.S. That implies that the current stock of immigrants lowered Americans' wages by 5.2%, reports the National Academies. That 5.2% immigration tax, you can put it, caused by legal and illegal immigration adds up to $500 billion per year lost by employees because of competition from lower-cost immigrants. You see, the globalists have done two things. They have exported our factories to foreign countries like China, and then they have imported cheap labor for the jobs that remain in the United States. And so you want to talk about income inequality, Democrats? Let's talk about that. Now, that's going to be one of the key things that Bloomberg, one of the richest men in the world, is going to base his campaign on: income inequality. Yeah, he wouldn't be running for president if we didn't have big income inequality, would we? If he wasn't the 15th wealthiest man in the world. In 1966, wage earners got 66% of the nation's new wealth, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Gradually, wage earners' share slid to 63% by 1990. So it went from 66 to 63% from about a 25-year period. When George Bush and Congress sharply increased immigration and wage earners, it crashed to 58% after the 2008 debacle. Then Buttigieg, as he's there with the pastor, has the audacity to say that Mexican illegal aliens are just reclaiming stolen land. So I'm confused here. Are they coming here to subsidize us? Are they coming here to give us these are travelers bearing gifts? I mean, it's like Christmas every day, right? Every day we have thousands of people crossing the border like the wise men on their camels. They are going to show us the path to enlightenment here. They're so much wiser than we are, these people coming from foreign countries. And they come bearing gifts. The Christmas story. The non-nativity scene that we have going on at the border. So I'm confused. I mean, are they coming back to steal back the land that we stole from them, as this pastor said? Or are they coming to give us gifts? They can't even keep their stories straight in one single meeting because they're talking out of both sides of their mouths. And then, of course, it all is really, truly about racism. And then you have Buttigieg, as we talk about two different stories in one meeting. All right. Well, first they're giving us gifts, then they're coming to take back, steal back the land that we stole from them. And then what he says is in Spanish, he says something in a campaign ad that is very different from what he's been saying in English. In Spanish, Mayor Peewee, Buttigieg, promises that government health care will be given to illegal immigrants, except that he said just the opposite in English. So I guess you have to press two for Spanish. You hear that Americans will be subsidizing you. If you press one for English, you'll hear that the people coming here will be subsidizing you, right? Press one to hear that these other people are going to be subsidizing you. Press two if you want to find out how Americans are going to be subsidizing the people who come here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So we've got Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Peewee, promising that if you press one for English, you will hear Buttigieg say the illegal aliens that are coming here are subsidizing us through Social Security. If you press two for Spanish, he will promise government health care for free to all illegal immigrants. Let's play video clip number four, where Rona McDaniel, the chairwoman of the GOP, talks about how Buttigieg speaks with forked tongue. Here's Rona.
Qué bueno. Entonces voy a hacerle dos preguntas. Y la primera pregunta es, usted habló de...
First question you spoke about, care for all. There's Buttigieg at a table. How do you imagine it for different statuses? I'll read this for this time. It's kind of noisy. This is somebody recording this. For immigration statuses, fit in or enter into Medicare for all. So he's sitting at a restaurant talking to somebody. And he says, so the important thing for me is that we offer the opportunity for health care to all in our country. And this includes the opportunity to buy this plan of Medicare for all. To buy this plan of Medicare for all. For all who want it. That is our solution. And this opportunity to buy this plan is for everyone. Regardless of their immigration status. Ah, yes. Oh, so you press 2 and you get that result in Spanish. And I read that for you because not only was it noisy in the restaurant, but he was speaking Spanish. So you press 2 and you hear that you're going to get everything for free. If you press 1, you're going to hear that the people who are coming here illegally are going to be subsidizing your retirement and your Social Security. Yeah, absolutely amazing. And that was tweeted out by Rona McDaniel. She said, just because Pete Buttigieg is from Indiana doesn't make him a moderate. Promising to include illegal immigrants in his plan for a government takeover of health care. That's exactly what he's saying. We're going to buy this plan of Medicare for all who want it. That's our solution. This opportunity to buy this plan is for everyone, regardless of their immigration status. You know, because it's not free stuff. It's public goods, as AOC reminded us, right? How dare you call this free stuff? You are entitled to this. You're entitled to this. Let me tell you. Buttigieg went on. I'm going to play this 30-second ad that he's running in South Carolina, trying to put himself in the position of Jesus. Whatever happened to I was hungry and you fed me, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Well, let me tell you, there's a difference between charity and entitlement. And it's the same difference between somebody giving somebody something and somebody saying, I'm entitled to that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to steal it from you. That's why AOC is so upset about people calling it free stuff. Don't call it free stuff. It's public goods. You don't own that. You didn't build that. They keep lecturing us, right? You know, it's not just Obama. It's now Elizabeth Warren. She keeps repeating this. You know, these rich people, they didn't build it. Well, you know, if they didn't build it, then mom and pop businesses and didn't build it, and you as a worker didn't earn it, because that's government money, you know, as Bernie Sanders said. They're looting the treasury. That's our money. Even Republicans will talk about, oh, these are expenditures if we have tax cuts. No, they're not. That's our money that we earned. You are thieves and kleptocrats, Democrats, communists, socialists. And many Republicans out there who think that they are entitled to what you have, that what you have, what you work for, what you saved is public goods. And they can hand it out to whoever they wish. And the people who get it are not grateful. They think they're entitled to it. They're entitled to steal it from you. That's a big difference. Like I said before, when I went to speak against Hillary's takeover of healthcare and I said something about charity, I was attacked verbally, booed by the Democrats who are there. They don't want to hear the word charity. Well, it's a difference between church and government, isn't it? You know? There's a difference between charity, giving, and church. And then on the government side, you've got entitlement, you've got theft. We're just going to take it. And so as Buttigieg, what amazes me is how this guy, on the one hand, thinks that it is his responsibility in running for office to morally lecture us and to deconstruct Christianity that he obviously doesn't believe and obviously despises. And he keeps wrapping himself in some kind of mantle of morality of his own imagining. It has nothing to do with Christianity, but he keeps going back to this. In his first ad, he goes back to quoting Jesus. This guy who has spent his campaign attacking Christians. Here's the Buttigieg ad, video clip 5.
In our White House, you won't have to shake your head and ask yourself, whatever happened to I was hungry and you fed me? I was a stranger and you welcomed me.
When I say we've got to unify the American people, it doesn't mean pretending that we're all the same. It means unifying around issues from wages and family leave to gun violence and immigration.
The hope of an American experience defined not by exclusion, but by belonging.
I'm Pete Buttigieg, and I approve this message.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is the guy that says the Christian view of LGBTQ people sometimes, quote, makes God smaller. No, Booty Gay, you make, it's just the opposite of that. You make yourself God. You stand in judgment of God, of Christ, of his teachings. And so you think that you judge God. You think that you're bigger than God. Not that God is making you smaller. You think it makes you smaller because it makes you less than God. But then he also said in a September podcast that unborn babies can be aborted up until they draw their first breath. You know, in other words, completely full-term babies with beating hearts who, as we've seen with ultrasound, are trying to avoid the probes that are ripping them limb from limb inside the womb. Oh, no, those aren't babies, and we can kill them because they're not breathing. He said, parts of the Bible mention, quote, how life begins with breath. Now, as I pointed out before, and as his brother-in-law has pointed out, Psalm 139, if he ever read a Bible, he would see that God's eye is on the unborn child. You watched me as I was being formed. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment laid out before a single day had passed. And you know, as people are able to see the baby before the baby is born with ultrasound 4D, see moving images, detailed images of babies, they understand. And God certainly sees. And so when I hear him say, whatever happened to I was hungry and you fed me, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Whatever happened, Booty Gay, to I was a helpless child. A child that God had plans for. And you ripped me limb from limb for money, for political power. You sold my beating heart for money. That's what you're doing. That's what you're excusing. That's what your brother-in-law has called you out for. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. The hypocrisy, the absolute hypocrisy of this guy. And of course, you know, he's trying to find some liberal pastor, and he did. He found that liberal pastor in South Carolina or North Carolina, and he's running ads about Jesus because he understands that that is his biggest problem. It's amazing to me to see somebody who, as I've pointed out many times, his father was a Marxist professor. He goes to Harvard, and his mentor there is a Marxist professor who took the name changed his name to Sockvan so he could honor the radical Marxists Sacco and Vanzetti, who are heroes to the communists. And at that former Puritan seminary, Harvard, Sockvan, his mentor, spent all this time saying, you know, what's wrong with Vietnam is that's just another manifestation of the evils of Christianity and Puritanism and everything, everything, all the problems in the world, to his mentor at Harvard and to Booty Gay, come back and have their origins in Christianity. And that's been the basis of his campaign. And these people, the LGB tyrants, are not going to be happy until they have shut down every last aspect of Christianity and removed religious freedom. And he has the audacity to run ads quoting Jesus. Satan himself, hath God not said? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Plant the seed in our home, and boys, let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys, call it the Liberty Tree. It's a tall
Liberty
tree.
It's your move. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
Yes, we are the sons of liberty. Save it from the storm.
Here's Morgan, who came to America and decided that he would make it his single cause to overturn the Second Amendment until he went back to England with his tail between his legs after Alex Jones went on to his show and told him, if you take the guns, 1776 will commence again. He eventually went back, but now it's kind of interesting. You know, he's talking about terrorism and how these people have been let out of jail. You know, we had that London Bridge attack that happened over the weekend. the guy, as well as the radical preacher who motivated him and many other people, they were both let out of jail. Let out of jail early. And one of the guys who was hailed as a hero was a murderer. Not a terrorist, but still, you know, a murderer. He had murdered a young girl who was disabled and in a wheelchair at the time. And they had him out, you know, walking around on some kind of a temporary release program. I guess he's going in and out. They're trying transitioning this murderer out of prison. And the family saw that and go, what's going on? He's not a hero. He's a murderer. He killed our daughter. And so, yeah, they've got some real issues about law enforcement. So Piers Morgan said, most terrorists don't change their evil spots. So it's time Britain stopped going soft on hate-filled jihadis to please the PC hand-wringing brigade and do what Americans do. Shoot them with their guns. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say shoot them with their guns because he doesn't want them to be able to protect themselves in the UK. Oh, heaven forbid that the British people would have firearms to protect themselves. No, no, can't do that. The government must protect us. And, of course, the government's going to protect you by locking the people up, right? No, actually, they're not going to do that. And he says you got to lock them up forever. But if you depend on the government to protect you, it'll be a crutch that you lean on that will pierce your hand. Self-protection, self-reliance, the God-given right to protect yourself, enshrined in our Constitution is the way it's done. And we have our own issue. As I've said many times, both the war on drugs and the open borders are being used to get us to surrender more of our freedoms. We have the war on terror, we got the war on drugs, and those both come together at the border. And if you want to understand how this is going to look, I mean, it's every day there's another report about this, because we have more people being killed now in Mexico than anywhere else in the world. It used to be that only Syria had more casualties, because in Syria they were dropping bombs, massive bombing campaigns there. But now that that has stopped, now Mexico is in the lead. And it is because of the war on drugs. But they are terrorizing people as well. And they put those two things together. They want the border open because they want you to beg for a national identity card. They want you to beg for face scanning at all the airports. Now the Homeland Security is talking about doing that. But here's this example here. Chilling moment. A heavily armed cartel hitman group storm a Mexican hospital, kidnap a stretcher-bound patient who was later found brutally murdered and dismembered in the middle of the road. These people are as ruthless as any jihadi terrorists. The beheadings, the hanging the beheaded bodies from bridges and so forth. Kidnapping this guy is in a stretcher out of a hospital. The gang invades a hospital, and then they mutilate this guy and leave him in the middle of the road. And these people, just like the situation where we had all the American Mormons, whatever was behind that, nevertheless, they got everybody's attention because it was Americans. That's happening all the time to people in Mexico. And there's nothing stopping these people from coming across the border because we absolutely refuse to protect our border. Think about how upset all the Democrats were President Trump because he wasn't protecting those Marxist-Leninist Kurds who had been his ally or been the ally of the Pentagon and regime change. And yet they don't want any protection for American citizens.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
I was just talking about this case in Mexico. The unbelievable violence that is happening there on a regular basis because of the drug war. But it's now turned into violence that is equal to or greater than what we've seen with terrorism. And those two things are being allowed and encouraged, and the border is being kept open because they want to use that to scare you into clamoring to the government for safety in other ways. Not protecting the border, But please, you know, take away our freedom, take away our privacy, take away our security. Identify us at the airport, because, you know, these people are always coming in through the airports, right? No, no, no. They're going to enact facial scans now. Homeland Security will be putting in facial scans. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But this particular case in Mexico, heavily armed with rifles, seven masked assailants stormed a hospital. They held a security guard hostage. They forced him to help them find their target. They then moved quickly down the hall before hauling out a patient on a stretcher. He was later found. He's not been identified publicly, but he was later found brutally butchered. Many of his limbs found scattered alongside the road. And there you can see some clips of them as they're going through the halls, taking this guy out. There is absolutely nothing to keep this from happening in the United States, because our border has been intentionally left wide open. This is a false flag event, folks. It is just 9/11 in slow motion. Homeland Security and all the rest of these people in Washington are using this as an excuse to take away your freedom, scaring you into begging them to take away your liberty. In California, we have a newly elected Soros-backed district attorney. In 2018, Soros spent $275,000 to get Democrat Diana Becton elected as district attorney. And what has she done? Well, she just decided that no charges will be filed against the five men arrested in connection with a deadly Halloween night shooting that left five people dead at a rented Airbnb mansion in Orinda, California. This is what you get when Soros picks your district attorneys. One investigator called it a bloodbath, unlike anything he had ever seen, and that many of those who attended the party were armed. Evidently, it was rival gangs that were fighting each other. So as this gang violence moves across the border, the Soros district attorney says, nothing to see here. Move along. Move along. All right, let's talk a little bit about the technocratic elite and the frauds that they are committing against us on a regular basis. This article from Forbes was up on the Drudge Report. Inside Larry Page's turbulent Kitty Hawk. That was what he called his flying car. It's a story of returned deposits, battery fires, and many other things. But, of course, this was going to be, initially, a Kitty Hawk was going to be a flying car back in 2017. As Forbes points out, success seemed to be just around the corner for Kitty Hawk, the secretive flying car company that's bankrolled by Google co-founder Larry Page and run by Sebastian Thrun, the Stanford AI and robotics whiz who launched Google's self-driving car unit. Oh, wow. Gee, so let's see. We've got Google, which is going to be controlling our cities, their sidewalk labs, because you won't be you won't be able to afford a car, and they don't want cars in their cities. These technocrats and the urban planners who are totally Marxist. So, that's the thing that bugs me so much, really annoys me, is when I look at the pronouncements of these people who have essentially the bureaucrats who are running our departments of transportation across the country. And every single one of them, absolutely hates cars. They love cities, but they hate cars. They love cities and they hate suburbs because, the cars get you to the suburbs and that gets you out of their control. They talk about urban sprawl. We can't allow that. We can't have people commuting. We got to keep them in the city where we can control them. And as I was just saying, I was driving home the other day, scanning the channels, and I heard a news report out of San Antonio. And they were saying, we can't keep building can't keep adding lanes to the roads. We can't do that. All of our stakeholders are telling us we got to get the people out of the cars, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get you out of the cars. That's their attitude. You're not a stakeholder. You're their slave. See, they have ownership. You don't. They tell you what to do. They are the stakeholders. You are the slaves, and they don't want you to have cars. And they don't want you to live outside of their cities. They're going to pack you in there. And these people, like, you know, Google's co-founder, and you got the guy running Google's self-driving car, you know, they should be able to put together a flying car that works, don't you think? Well, what was it that was the problem? This was a single-seat, battery-operated aircraft intended to be a low-altitude fun machine for use over water, handling that would make flying as easy as driving. Oh, gee, and they just failed to deliver on that promise, you mean? The startup promised to put Flyer in the eager buyer's hands by the end of the year, and that was 2017. Didn't happen, 2017. Later that year, they also began flight testing a more ambitious project. This one was not a one-seater, but this was a two-seater, and it wasn't just going to fly over water. They were confident enough that this was going to fly over cities. A two-seat electric self-flying taxi called Cora, that Kitty Hawk said would enable city dwellers to soar over gridlock streets. Just imagine traveling at 80 miles an hour in a straight line at any time of day without ever having to stop. Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it because everybody else will be grounded, right? Only these elitists will have that. You know, I can imagine traveling 80 miles an hour to get somewhere. I truly can't imagine that. I'm sitting there when I'm stopped at a stoplight. Believe me, I'm imagining that I could be traveling at 80 miles an hour if only we had a Department of Transportation here and the rest of this country that instead of adding intersections, instead of adding stoplights to force you on the toll roads, the only thing that they're interested in building anymore around here is toll roads. And they add stop signs, stoplights, and intersections, and then run government-funded ads to nag you about how much time you're wasting on their newly created stop signs and how you got to pay them to avoid that. Yeah, if we had a Department of Transportation that actually build roads or even maintain them, yeah, I could easily imagine driving 80 miles an hour, and I wouldn't need to have a flying car. Behind closed doors, however, Flyer encountered problems. There were frequent breakdowns. There were fires involving batteries. Imagine that. Just like Tesla. See, I talk about this all the time, but it's not a Tesla problem. It's an electric car problem. It's bigger than Tesla. When I was talking about the Mustang SUV, electric SUV, and Eric Peters, I think, really got it right. He said, why did they call it a Mustang? It's not just to cannibalize the only remaining car that Ford is making now. No, it's because they're going to get rid of that car down the line. And they want to transition people into an electric idea of that. As I was talking about that, some guys said, well, you just wait until we get our batteries fixed. And then the brushless electric motor, that's just going to run circles around your internal combustion engines. And it's like, hey, fine, you know. I'm not telling you what you have to drive. I'm just saying you're not going to tell me what I'm going to be allowed to drive. You're not going to force me to subsidize your choices while you shut down my choice. And I said to the guy, I said, well, you know, when you get your technology finished, come back and then we'll talk. But your batteries are garbage. They're absolute garbage. And so they had a battery fire. They said they had a lot of fires involving batteries, involving electric motors and wiring. As a matter of fact, they had to call out the fire department to come back and put out a fire that had started again from batteries after they had crashed the vehicle. They put the batteries in the warehouse and they caught fire again the next day, just like we see with Tesla. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? It crashed the previous day. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We were just talking about the magnificent men with their electric flying machines. They go up, de up, up, and they go down, de down, down, and then they catch fire the next day even because they're electric batteries. And that's what electric batteries do. They keep catching fire days afterwards. You know, we've talked about how in Austria they had to show up to a Tesla fire. You know, once the batteries are compromised, they burn intensely. They had to show up with a special vehicle They drowned the thing, submerged it underwater, and then removed it. Tons and something like 11 tons of water, if I recall correctly. This is the story from Forbes that you'll see up on Drudge. It may still be up there, about how Larry Page and another Google AI expert and self-driving expert decided that they were going to set up flying cars. First, they did a one-seater that was going to fly over water. Then they were going to do a two-seater that was going to fly over cities. But it came crashing to the ground, and one of the biggest problems was the batteries. Surprise, surprise. At least two members of the flight test team were let go after they questioned the safety of the aircraft. Said one employee, it was a pattern. If you talked about safety, you were done. So you just didn't. That's just how it had to be if you wanted to keep getting a paycheck. And so now they've got a different plan. We have moved to seeing it as a transportation service and not as a vehicle for individual purchase. That's how this is all going, isn't it? That's how it's all going. It's going to be a ride-sharing model for transportation services. Translation, we can't make a product that can compete in the marketplace. So we will rely on government subsidies and government bans of private transportation. It's going to be a ride-sharing model for transportation services. And that's exactly what is being sold to you by Elon Musk, the con man. He's using the con of climate change hoax, and then he's using this con of electric vehicles, self-driving cars, and so forth. And eventually they're going to say, well, you know, this just isn't working for us. So we're going to just be doing this exclusively as a ride-sharing model. I was talking about how the urban planners absolutely hate your mobility. They hate your private cars. They hate the suburbs that you want to live in. They hate everything about the last half of the 20th century on. They want to undo that. And the CEO of Lyft actually wrote a long paper about that, saying the best thing that man has ever invented is the city, and the worst thing is the car. And we're going to fix that. We're going to go to a ride-sharing model for transportation services. We will be the surrogate for the government. The government has always desired to control all of your mobility. You know, they've had all these different schemes. Let's say we could do buses. Nobody wants to ride a bus. We could do a subway. No. People don't like being crammed like sardines into a subway. Let's do light rail. No, they don't like that. It's real expensive and it doesn't get people there. Let's do a transportation service by subscription, and we'll partner with these people. And just to make it work, we'll stop building roads, and we will ban cars coming into the cities. We'll call them ultra-low emission zones, and we'll say nobody gets in. Even with a hybrid car, you're going to have an electric-only car. And so we'll just outright ban the cars, and they're doing that all across Europe right now and the UK. Just take a look at Tesla. You don't think that they're going to shut this down and just go to a subscription model? Tesla sells more products it doesn't yet make than products that it does make, reports Zero Hedge. Think about this. They said a few things to consider when it comes to the stock, Tesla. They're looking at this from an investor's perspective. Out of the 9 products that Tesla has announced and sells, they only make 3 of them. Nice business if you can get it, right? And demand for those 3 products appears to have peaked, while the other 6 products they sell are only vaporware. And that's what I said last week, isn't it? I said, I think they called it Cybertruck, not because it looks like it came straight out of a Nintendo 64 game from the 80s or 90s, but because it is vaporware. You're not ever going to see it. Or if you do see it, they may be out of business by then or whatever. Products that do not exist, vaporware. And here's this breaks down. The Model 3 units are in severe decline. Sales were down 49% year over year in October in the biggest market, the United States. The Model X, they also make and sell the Model X. Sales have collapsed in both the U.S. and globally. Model S, sales have collapsed in both the U.S. and globally. And they show you the charts. And then they say, meanwhile, Here are Tesla's current cars and products that are not in production. Remember the Roadster that was unveiled 2 years ago? It was supposed to come out in 2019. Well, not yet. Not yet. The Semi, it was also unveiled 2 years ago. Now, you can place your order for one. They'll take your money, but they're not making those yet. Then we have the Model Y. Tesla refuses to mention how many pre-orders they've received here. There's the Cybertruck. You can put down a $100 fully refundable deposit on a car that will likely cost $60,000. Or as Zero Hedge puts it, that is a 0.167% deposit. The equivalent of somebody putting down $1.67 towards buying a $1,000 iPhone. I want to reserve one of those. Can I put down $1.67 to reserve that iPhone? And then having Apple call that an order. No, that's what Tesla does. They have an ATV that they have announced that they'll sell you, but they're not making it. And then there's also the announced but not being made FSD. To do that, they would have to achieve level 5 autonomy, and they're only at level 2. And then what about these other promises that Elon Musk has made? They were going to have flying cars, just like Larry Page and so forth. He made that claim 322 days ago. He claimed that he would make brake pads that never have to be replaced. That claim was made 336 days ago. They were going to have a base on Mars in 2028. That was a claim from 432 days ago. They were going to have a one-hour body shop. You could go there and get your car, no matter what happened, fix it in 1 hour. That claim was made 437 days ago. He was also going to fix all the water in Flint, Michigan. That was 504 days ago he said that. And that there would be no more mass layoffs, 533 days and multiple layoffs ago. And in this article, they don't even mention the cave submarine. I guess they're afraid of being called a pedo guy for doing that. And then there's the wonderful article from Adan Salazar that was picked up by Drudge. Tesla drivers shown by many people on social media waiting up to an hour to charge their electric vehicles. And one of these, one of the largest supercharging sites that boasts that it has 40 chargers. They showed drivers queued up back-to-back in line about a half mile long. I haven't seen this since the OPEC oil embargo. That's a great job there. Great job. That's with like 1% of the people buying electric vehicles. Can you imagine when they force everybody to do this? So they're talking about in the UK, yeah, we got to move that up to 2030. How are they going to handle that? Well, they're not. That's the answer. They're just going to get you out of the cars. We'll be right back.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking about this InfoWars article about Tesla drivers waiting up to an hour to charge their electric vehicles. This was reported by a lot of people. They have apps that basically give them an idea of what the wait time is before you begin this incredibly long, drawn-out process of charging your car. Almost every supercharger from L.A. to San Francisco is backlogged. Tesla's supercharging network has not kept up. I spent more time charging than driving. No more long trips on Tesla. Well, it's not hard to do that, quite frankly. When it takes many, many hours to charge up your vehicle, even to 80%, it doesn't... you do spend a lot more time charging than you do driving. They pointed out, I looked up and thought, how many Teslas have they sold in California? Because that's their biggest market. The U.S. is their biggest market, and California is their biggest market in the U.S. They sold 33,000. And that's all Teslas across all three models that they sell. Now, they've also sold six other products that they don't currently manufacture, as I pointed out previously. But the three that you can actually get delivery of, they sold 33,000 of those in the first 6 months. But, when you take a look at just the F-150, the very, very popular Ford truck that Elon Musk chose to try to make look bad. And, of course, he has been ripped across the coals, even by the cheerleaders for the electric vehicles for the biased test that he did. You know, you grab a lower model of a Ford truck, and then you don't put any weight on the back wheels, and then you start first with your much heavier car. So for all these different, you know, the physics behind it. But it was just a PR ploy. But take a look at the F-150. It is the most popular selling vehicle anywhere, the Ford truck. In 6 months, they sold about 500,000 of those across the United States. And I didn't see anybody waiting in line to fill up their F-150s or any of the other trucks or SUVs or automobiles that people have by the millions, millions of cars. I should have looked up how many cars are in California compared to the 33,000 Teslas that everybody was waiting to fill up. No, we haven't had anything like that since the Arab oil embargo. Again, going back to the InfoWars article, been sitting here in line for 40 minutes, and it looks like we're halfway there. Software could have certainly done a better job warning about expected charging delays. So see, it's even worse than the app indicated. You know, the one guy was saying, look at everything is backlogged from L.A. to San Francisco. But when they got there, it was even worse. One person in San Luis Obispo said there was a line of about 20 cars waiting for a charge while a mobile supercharging station reportedly stood idly by and aren't charging anybody up. Now, there's reasons for that. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at this and when you look at how they're skewing everything towards electric cars. And you've got to ask yourself, okay, you don't like diesels. You don't like gasoline engines. You want to pretend that they can't be made clean. That, by the way, is not true. But you want to ban them. Why is it that you don't even take a look at something like a hydrogen vehicle if you're going to do something like that? Because you can completely charge Toyota's hydrogen vehicle. Of course, you can't find any places where you can fill them up. There's no infrastructure for that either. But if you could, you know, there's a couple of places in California where you can. It takes 5 minutes to fill it up. Now, I've talked about how with my little car, I can fill it up 8 to 10 gallons I need there. Once I've, you know, finished all the, you know, credit card processing and so forth, the actual pumping time takes me between 30 and 40 seconds. I've timed it. You know, some pumps are faster than others. And yet, you can spend spend 5 minutes refueling a hydrogen vehicle, or you can spend many, many hours charging your electric vehicle. For example, if you've got regular, you know, you just hook it up to your regular 120 in the wall. If you do that to get 300 miles of charge for your Tesla, according to the June 2019 mechanic base report, they said, well, to get 300 miles of distance, it's going to take you 52 hours. 52 hours. I could do the Cannonball Run in less than that. I mean, these guys, when they were doing the Cannonball Run, they could go across, you know, from New York to L.A. in 30-some-odd hours before the FBI got onto them. But just to go 300 miles, you're going to have to spend 52 hours charging it in your home. Oh, okay, well, we can do something. We can do better than that. We can put two chargers, and we can up the voltage to 240. How about that? Okay, well, that'll only take you 4 hours and 45 minutes to get 300 miles of charge. And typically, when you go to these public chargers like this, you're going to charge it at the rate, and this, listen to how they talk about the charging rate, 22 miles per hour. Now, you're not going 22 miles per hour. That'd be bad enough if you were going 22 miles per hour in these golf carts. But you get 22 miles worth of charge in 1 hour. And you're not going anywhere. You're sitting there waiting as this thing is going. And typically they say, you know, one of the reasons why they talk about going to the 80% mark. Now, Elon Musk will say, no, don't charge it to 100%. That will take down your battery life. It's like, seriously? Will it? Well, okay, well, I'll defer to that. I'm sure you're not telling us that because you don't want to extend the waiting time. Because, you see, it takes longer to go from 80% charge to 100% charge than it does to go from 0 to 50% charge. It takes longer to get that last 20% than it does to get the first half. That's, I think, why he's telling people don't do it to 100%. See, this is part of the technocratic elite and the fraud that they're committing on us. And what really is bad is if you understand what the end game is. The end game is smart cities the UN's 2030 agenda and complete control of everything that you do. Like I said at the beginning of the program, you got Bloomberg, who wants to do gun control, and then he wants to use climate change to take everything else in your life away from you, not just the guns. And that gets everything else, including your food, including your housing, including your transportation. And if you don't understand how the technocratic elite are defrauding you, how they are stealing from you, and if you don't understand the different processes that they're doing, they're coming against your free speech, they're coming against your ability to move, and they're coming against your ability to shoot. And that is, as the military has pointed out, you control people's ability to communicate, move, and shoot, and you control them. And that's exactly what they're doing. That is the plan. That's why I say Skynet has been activated. You know, we look at this article up on Infowars.com of the Chinese man interrogating for criticizing police on social media. That's the communication side of it. And when you look at that video, pull that video up, this guy is sitting in a metal high chair, and he's got a bar around his arms. Look at that. Look at that. That's how they do interrogation there. And he's handcuffed. His hands are in cuffs. And then he's sitting in this metal desk. And then he's got this bar around his chest. Why did you complain about police on QQ and WeChat? And then he's grilled about his screen name and his activity on WeChat. And they go on, why did you talk about traffic police online? What's wrong with police confiscating motorcycles? And he attempts to come across as apologetic. And they say, why are you badmouth police? Do you hate police? I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I know that now. Please forgive me. I won't do it again, ever. Paul Joseph Watson includes in his article a tweet from Ezra Levant saying, the Chinese spy on social media conversations, then they bring in the dissidents for a real-life chat. I'd say we're at least 5 years away from that, so nothing to worry about, right? I mean, that's what I hear from people. Even when I talk to people about, you know, they're going to ban your... I go to these places, car meetings, right? These guys are car aficionados. You know they're going to take these in a couple of years. Oh, they're going to take them, but, you know, not in my lifetime. I think it'll be a few years. And it's like, you have no idea. You have no idea where this is headed and how quickly we're going to get there. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All these governments masquerade as Santa Claus, don't they? They're going to give you all that free stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. Public goods, right? As AOC would say. And yet they're watching you. They know when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake. They know if you've been bad or good. So watch out for those social credits, and they're coming sooner than 5 years out. Absolutely. We got U.S. Homeland Security now proposing face scans for citizens, reports Reuters. The Trump administration intends to propose a regulation next year that would require all travelers, including U.S. citizens, to be photographed when entering or leaving the U.S., according to the administration's regulatory agenda. Travelers, including U.S. citizens, should not have to submit to invasive biometric scans simply as a condition of exercising their constitutional right to travel, said Jay Stanley. And he's a policy analyst with the ACLU. They got that one right. I mean, they're not there on the Second Amendment, and they're not really there on the First Amendment either. But they are telling you the truth about that. I am just absolutely disgusted that the Trump administration would be allowing this. I'm absolutely disgusted that the Trump administration would allow the FDA, the criminal FDA bureaucracy. And I understand it's this, you know, President Trump can't be everywhere all at once. And there's this left-behind cabal of bureaucrats who are just like all the Democrat politicians. And the Democrat politicians are even worse on this stuff. And the Democrat politicians are even worse than the bureaucracy. They want them to go further, faster. But President Trump is either unaware or indifferent, or maybe even on the wrong side of many of these issues that have to do with individual liberty, with our God-given rights, with our privacy, with the rule of law. You know, when they look at this, they say, well, the public's got 30 to 60 days to comment on the proposed U.S. regulation. And then the federal regulatory agency will then review and respond to comments, and then they'll decide what they want to do. See, this is like the back and forth between then-Senator Jeff Sessions and Leon Panetta. Well, you're going to tell us if you want to go into Syria, right, Secretary Panetta? Well, we will talk to our NATO allies and our UN allies, and we'll probably let you know. Well, I can't believe what you're saying here. You got a constitution. You're a congressman. You know what the constitution says. We've got to have a vote on this. As I said, Senator, we will talk to our allies in NATO and, you know, our stakeholders and so forth. Then we'll let you know maybe you know, what we're going to do. And they didn't. They went ahead and put thousands of troops there. We still don't know the number. There's never been a discussion or a vote about that. And they're not going to bring them home. You know, even when President Trump says, bring them home. I said, well, yeah, we'll talk to the president about that, says Pompeo. You know, he has his ideas, and then we present him with facts. Show him the Zapruder film or whatever. Don't expect any help on this from Washington. And look at the FDA banning you using your own stem cells. Why? Because they're totally captured by the big pharmaceutical companies. Even telling my family you've got to destroy stem cells, our own stem cells that we paid to have extracted, that we need for treatments, that we are paying to have stored. They're going to destroy those. Because these regulatory agencies can do whatever they wish. This is regulation without representation. Where in the Constitution does it say that these agencies that are doing things for which the federal government has no constitutional authority under the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, they do these things and they put out a rule and then you can comment on it, you can send them a letter and say, I don't like that rule. And you got 30 to 60 days to do that. And then they just look at that. And then they say, yeah, that's nice, but we'll do it anyway. I mean, talk about arbitrary tyranny of a bureaucracy. It's never been worse. The Byzantine Empire wasn't nearly this bad because they didn't have the technological leverage that these people do over our lives. The arrogance that we're going to have face scans. And we're going to put this new rule in, and, you know, even if you are a citizen, even if you are a citizen, they're still going to scan you. Why are they doing that? Are you a security risk to them? Is this going to make you safe? No. What they're doing this for, folks, is they're building their biometric database now. That's why they're doing it at the airport. Is this the point of entry that we're getting thousands of people, you know, buying a ticket on an airplane and coming in here illegally? Of course not. They may come in and then overstay a visa, but that's not really what's happening with the flood of illegal aliens. They're not coming in flying in on airplanes. They're walking across the border unimpeded because we won't do anything to protect the border. But they're going to tell you that they've got to scan your face for national security. And let me tell you something. National security has nothing to do with your security. Have you figured that out yet? It has to do with the security of the state, not the security of the citizens. China is introducing mandatory face scans for phone users. See, it's all coming here. Chinese tech groups are writing the UN's facial recognition program. And the Chinese tech companies are using Zimbabwe citizens as guinea pigs to identify and track black people. So are they concerned about security issues? You know, they've got a security issue with black people in China. No, they don't have black people in China. But they got China and Africa. That's the issue. Now, China, as I said before, is not a communist party. Don't call them Chi-Coms. They're not Chi-Coms. They're Nazis. They're nationalist and they're socialist. And just like Nazi Germany, they are hyper-nationalist. There is a merger between the government and the corporations. The politicians are making lots of money off of every one of these corporations. But they are very aggressive, very expansive. They are a neo-colonial power. They're trying to get global hegemony. and they are moving into Africa because of natural resources. They want to exploit it. They are a colonial power. They want to be a global power. They are a global power already. And that's why it's important for them to track black people, because they're going to inventory the black people. You want to talk about slavery? They got you, everybody fighting about slavery 400 years ago. Talk about the slavery that's coming. That's something to fight about. Oh, but the Democrats, especially the Democrats, don't want to talk about that. No, no, no. Now look the other way about that. No, China's tech titans, reports Daily Caller, are proposing new standards, including the UN's International Telecommunications Union. See, the UN, always involved in this kind of slavery. This is a protocol for facial recognition, video monitoring, and vehicle surveillance. And why is 5G being rolled out everywhere? Because it is the technological foundation, the substrate on which facial recognition, vehicle surveillance, biometric databases that they can access in real time, it requires 5G. Which brings us back to Elon Musk, the guy that's put so many satellites. He's got 20,000 satellites he's going to be putting up already. Astronomers are saying we can't see the stars because of the satellites. So what are these satellites doing? They're beaming 5G at you. That's your hero, Elon Musk, doing that, getting subsidized by the government to do that. That's why he can cost investors millions of dollars and get away with it, because the SEC gives him a pass because he's their partner in controlling and enslaving you. You better understand what really is behind this technological elite system here. I don't think President Trump does. If he does, he's not doing anything about it. All right, we're just about out of time. I'll just say one more thing. No, I'm going to tell you about the sales that we have here at InfoWars. Folks, we have got our Cyber Monday sale. We have stepped it up. We've got some combination packages to join our 50% off and free shipping and triple Patriot points. We've never done triple Patriot points before. That's going to give you a 15% discount. We've got a lot of items. We focus on the nutraceuticals, but we've got a lot of clothing, caps, and T-shirts. We've got a lot of preparedness products. We've got a lot of durable goods, things that you can gift to people. But you can also introduce them to some of these nutraceuticals and begin a healthier new year for you and for your family. And to help you do that, we've got 50% off free shipping and triple Patriot points. We've got some packages like Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine or Survival Shield X3 Nascent Iodine. 50% off, and you get a free bottle of Brain Force. You can get DNA Force Plus, 50% off. Huge dollar savings. Get a free bottle of Brain Force. We have krill oil back in stock, 50% off. We have Super Silver Wound Gel, 50% off. We have our colloidal silver, Silver Bullet, 67% off. Many products, things like Natural Sleep Aids Knockout, our anti-inflammatory bodies, many of those, 50% off. Take a look at the products at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support, your standing with us over these difficult times.